And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy!
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds!
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
On today's episode of the Glue Guys, we are going to discuss our impressions, our first impressions, first impression Rose, of the Nets draft picks in Vegas Summer League. Usually you say something.
Yes, usually I do. I left off.
It's that kind of day, huh?
Yeah.
Welcome back to the Glue Guys. This is Mike here. Say hello,
hello.
Brian.
Oh,
it's good. Check us out on Twitter at BK Glue Guys, netsdaily.com. Hop in that Discord. Ooh. Brian, where can they find the Discord link?
It's in the Twitter bio. There's a link in the bio. You click that. Yeah.
Can you tell people what Discord? Some people don't know what Discord is.
Oh, it's a chat. It's a chat app and voice call and video app where we all hang out. We're the true brain trust of Glue Nation. Exist, you know, online, and we all just have dumb fights about Nets basketball in chat form. So if you,
it's where I get all my ideas. If you want to steal them and spin them forward,
if you basically want to take the best arguments you've ever had on Twitter and just, you know, fuel inject them with brain power, that's the Discord. Actually, no, it's a real community. That's very nice. Everyone gets along. We've had some real connections. People go up, they like buy tickets, season tickets together now. This is, it like really warms my heart. What's
really
been going
on? That's a beautiful
thing. It is a beautiful thing. It's a good community. So I actually, you know, unironically, not, you know, it really do join the Discord.
It's very much like, I don't know if you've seen Eyes Wide Shut, but it's the secret society in Eyes Wide Shut. It's very similar vibes,
yeah,
is what we're going for.
What's the what's the password? Do you know? Do you remember?
Oh, yeah. What was it? I forget.
Oh, God. It was like Ophelio something. Oh, God. It's
yes.
Yeah. What is it?
Yeah. And I remember the piano player did not, it did not end up okay for that piano player.
No. Nick Moon. Nick. Yeah. Anyways. good start.
So, yeah. What a great start to the pod. Brian and I are a little bleary-eyed, not because it's not like we had like a night out of revelry, but I just think neither of us are firing on all cylinders this week.
We had that discussion. Our REM cycles were interrupted. But we're going to deconstruct these Summer League games because we did watch. We watched closely, yes, with notepads and pens in hand. So we have very hot takes about what we saw there. So, Mike, I don't know. Do you want to start there or do you want to start with the rumor mill? You let me know. You lead this dance.
Let's start Summer League because that's what people want to hear. And I think the best way to do it is kind of take each player individually as they come and have, we're going to like break it down for a couple of minutes each. We're not going to hit all 45 players that are playing for the Nets Summer League team, but we're going to hit the big names that everyone wants to talk about. Now, do you want to start with Brandon Knight or do you want to end with Brandon Knight?
Let's start with Brandon Knight. Let's start with Brandon because he has been a focal point of this Summer League in a both improbable and unexpected way. But it's really his team, Mike, this Summer League, this Summer League squad.
His and Cam's team, and they are not teammates together for the most part.
So
I'm going to color my analysis this way, is that I don't know, I shouldn't feel bad for Brandon Knight, right? Like the guy, he has made a bunch of money. He's an NBA player. He's had a bunch of success, but you know, injuries have sapped him of where he was used to be in his career. Where, you know, you and I joked about how, like, when we found out that Brandon Knight was on the Summer League team, there was this very real reality, because it was reality 6 years ago, where if Brandon Knight was on the Brooklyn Nets, we would have felt like it was like the second coming of Dr. J.
We would have had, right? We would have had at least a dozen episodes just about that, about that one thing.
I'm pretty sure we discussed Brandon Knight many times as like maybe a Nets target.
I'm sure.
And like, would he come in conjunction with a bunch of Kentucky guys? And like, is that how the Nets, like, do they go back to Calipari? Like, there was this whole moment.
Oh, man,
when like
the Calipari rumor mill. Wow, that was a journey.
Yeah. That, remember that was like, Calipari's going to make a comeback with the Nets.
And I do. He's, I do remember.
He's going to turn the Nets into Kentucky, the grad school version of Kentucky. So I will admit, like, so guys made a bunch of money. You know, he's still getting an opportunity. But I do feel, I don't know if I feel bad. I guess I feel like I don't know, proud. I feel an emotion towards him because he is at a point in his career where he probably shouldn't have to be in summer league to prove himself, but he is putting himself through summer league basketball, playing with a bunch of 19-year-olds to try to get a job.
Yeah.
But I will say it's an odd vibe out there with like, the, I don't know how old Mr. Knight is, the Brooklyn Knight, if you will. Sure. I don't know how old he is, but him being mixed with a bunch of these low end bench, early draft pick type dudes who are also trying to prove themselves in the league. The cohesion on the team is different, and I think Brandon Knight v. Cam Thomas is like the greatest example of different. They're both going for the exact same thing, and they're both at totally different ends of their career. I will say I've liked Brandon Knight's defense. I don't think he's going to be part of this team going forward.
Have you seen Platoon yet? Is that a thing that you've gotten around to?
No, you brought up
this is yet another
every goddamn week.
This is yet another Platoon example
for war movies.
And in this case, Brandon Knight is again. He plays the Willem Dafoe character as like the you know the Christ-like figure who's now humbled himself and he represents that part of the team. You know him and Kaiser Gates and. And
Kaiser Soze Gates,
Kaiser, aka Kaiser Soze Gates, they lead the you know the hippie like we just want to have a you know a cohesive, simpatico experience here and maybe clap for. Did you see the quote that he had? I want to clap for 82 games on the Nets bench for a championship team or something. That's what
he
Brandon
said
Knight.
That?
He didn't say I want to do that, but he was like I'd be willing to clap for.
I love that.
Literally, yeah. So that's you know he's like our
that's the humbleness I
that's
need
the
for
humbleness.
My end of bench guys.
He's the Christ figure, and then Cam Thomas on the other side, Tom Barrett, is just like give me the ball, Brandon Knight. You're in my way. You're hippie bullshit is in my way, so I don't want to clap for anybody for zero games because I'm putting
yeah,
this ball
Brandon
in
Knight
his hole.
Really a hippie?
No,
he shot
he's not.
The ball 12 times.
He's not.
In 26
he's not.
Minutes.
But that's the other thing. Willem Dafoe yeah. was a killer, an ice cold killer, but he just had a Christ-like, sure. you know, behavior. You got to see Platoon, Mike. You got to get around to it. Anyways, but there is a war there with Cam. There's a secret war. It's a undercover. I mean, it's,
secret
it was,
war. Marvel. If you're gonna bring, that Secret Invasion coming out,
I'm going to
Disney Plus 2022.
Shout out. Sponsoring the show. Marvel Universe.
Yeah, they're very interested in our Glue Guys
yeah.
IP.
Yeah. good cross promo. But yeah, so and the Cam Thomas experience has been an interesting one. Do you want to just parlay the Brandon Knight right into there?
Yeah, because no one really cares about Brandon Knight, if we're gonna be honest. Yeah. And Cam Thomas, so living on Nets Twitter is a dangerous place to live. And so I don't know if I like should always be living down the path of Nets Twitter, but I will say, I feel like the Cam Thomas experience is this like polarizing aspect of fandom where there's part of the fan base that is like Cam Thomas is the next James Harden. He's a bucket getter, right? Like I can see a role on how he plays now. He will produce next year. There's also this other end of the spectrum where it's like he's a 19-year-old who takes Kobe-esque jab steps for 8 seconds, drives the basket no matter what, only passes to get out of problematic situations. And he's like this all-consuming offensive force in a negative way because he doesn't play within a team structure. And there's no way he could ever play with Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, and James Harden because they're like if I just want to paint a picture for something. And I'm still illustrating the two poles of Cam Thomas. But if he ends up on the floor with the big three in some way and he gets the ball passed to him and he takes the 3 seconds it takes for him to diagnose the play and then he does a dribble to the right, crossover, step back, long two while Kyrie, Kevin Durant, and James Harden are on the floor, they're going to look at him and say stuff to him that's going to be tough for a 19-year-old to take because they're going to be furious at him. Saying all that, the dude is super talented. It is obvious that, like, with some molding, he's in the Jordan Clarkson, Jamal Crawford class. Like, he is Lou Williams. He's a guy who, if he just sort of molds a little bit, and he's 19, so he can. He's going to be in the NBA for like 15 years scoring points on someone's bench.
And that's he's, as long as he doesn't have the delusion that he's more than that, that'll be, if he can lock that in. Sorry, not the delusion. Sorry. That was raw.
The thing is, he's 19.
He's 19.
And they had his mom.
I do want to see.
They interviewed his mom on the broadcast. Okay. She seemed so lovely. Yeah. And like, you and I are getting to the age where it's like, are we going to crush a 19-year-old?
No.
I'm not doing that here. I'm not.
That's not a crush. That's like we're offering a guy like a 15-year NBA
you're
career.
Crushing him.
I'm offering the easy way. This is the easy path. The path of least resistance. Know thyself, Mike. Know thyself.
Here's positives and negatives of Cam Thomas. Okay, I'll keep it that simple. The positives is that he's like, we joke about this guy's a walking bucket, right? Like that's a meme. And it's like, if we say like Kuzma's a walking bucket. Like anyone who can put up a jumper is a walking bucket. Cam Thomas is legitimately a points creator. He gets to the line at an insane rate. He had 10 free throws in game two. I think in game one, he had about 10 free throws as well, attempts. He has the ability to shoot off the bounce. He had that, like, I think his first three-pointer in game two was a jump back, step back three. That was like perfectly what James Harden does. And he did it. And it was that, like, he has that in his bag. And that's a unique talent. Like, there's going to be so many other guys. There's 60 players that are drafted in the NBA draft. I'm going to guess he's top five in the ability to score over the course of his career. Even if like guys like Jalen Green pop, he maybe not that, but I think he's always going to be a scorer. The negative, and this is real, okay? He just doesn't like to pass, and he doesn't look to pass.
He has
the ability.
He's more of a caller than a passer. He's calling for that ball.
He's putting the hand up.
Yeah, he's putting the hand up early.
I mean, like, he had, like, so you could say, like, you know, Mike, he had 4 assists. I understand that he did get 4 assists. He also, like, if you just watch him play, one, a lot of the other guys in the team don't really seem to like to pass to him. Like, it seems like Brandon Knight at various times is like, I'm not going to pass you the ball.
There's a whole vibe with multiple players. I'm not trying to read too much into it because this is, you know,
let's read into it.
This gets into
summer reading.
This gets into meme territory pretty quickly, but like, De'Ron Sharpe, for example, you know, game one, very conspicuously not going to be passing it back out after an offensive rebound to Cam Thomas calling for an open three, which luckily worked out because that was okay. And we'll get to De'Ron, but not just Brandon Knight. It seemed like a bunch of guys did not want to pass the ball to Cam.
Reggie Perry for long stretches. And like, Reggie Perry should be passing the ball a little bit more. He's been acting like he's Julius Randle. Like, he's been like gunning it.
He is gunning, especially in the first quarter. He's like, this, like, I'm going to like put my mark on this game in the first 5 minutes, and it's either on and it's all the way on or it's not. And then I'm out of here. You know, that's it.
So there's that, like, it's this really unique, polarizing experience to watch Cam Thomas because it is so clear the guy can score. He can score and not just and he does it in like a really unique way. I won't say efficient because it's not efficient, but he has the ability. You know, there's if you can get to the free throw line and you can shoot from three, like he shot 3 from 7 from three and he was 7 from 10 from the free throw line. That's an efficient style of basketball. The only thing is that he adds the mid-range stuff, which is actually fun to watch. Like, mid-range has now become like a fun element of basketball because so few players actually really shoot from the mid-range. It's just that, like, he really, really doesn't care about passing. Like, he's not a point guard. He's not. He's a two-guard scorer. Don't expect him to run the show in any way.
It's a tough model to fulfill because, like, you know, he, as I often talk about, idolizing Kobe and everything. Like, idolizing Kobe is one thing game-wise. The Mamba mentality shtick is a whole other element to it that, like, you really can't just you can't walk in the first day of summer league with a Mamba mentality. That's tough. Like Jamal Crawford understood that his particular brand of basketball is like kind of unlikable for other teammates, unless you're like, you know, you just really need a bucket, and that's a great person to have if you're, you know, it halfway through a regular season and like just like, can we just get 17 minutes of bucket getting, you know, people start to like you then. But the politicking in place before that, like he's a known, like renowned, well-liked guy, Jamal Crawford.
One of the cherished teammates in recent NBA history. Yeah.
And I don't know if Lou Williams has that, but he's got like meme status of like, he's just doing his own thing.
He goes
and
to the strip club. Yeah.
Yeah, he's got two girlfriends.
He broke quarantine to go to the strip club.
He's just
to like, get chicken wings. Yeah. Not even like that is fantastic. You know, that's great.
And just is a chill
Full support.
As a chill bro. That's the vibe I get. You know, he's kind of a meme chill bro. The Mamba mentality is going to be a tough fit right out of the gate is my line of thinking for Camp Thomas. So yeah, that's all.
Yeah. There's like children of in the NBA, right? So there's all these children of Steph Curry that have now filtered through the NBA where it's just kind of, you know, smaller to mid-sized guards who just shoot threes. And that's all they do. And that's all they want to do. Cause they've saw that how successful Steph Curry could be. Kobe has probably the biggest, now in the NBA, he's the father of many, 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 many players in the NBA. I mean, you go all the way up to Jason Tatum, Kyrie, down to people like Cam Thomas. Like, he's the guy. Kobe's the guy that everyone, a lot in this generation points to. And he's just like an interesting role model, right? Like, and it makes sense. Of course he should be your role model in basketball if you grew up watching Kobe. But also it's like, you could take bad lessons from someone who does it well. Right. You think like, oh, I need to when I get the ball, like Kobe was like, he had the amazing footwork and he diagnosed to play and then he would attack. And there's just a lot of guys who do that who then aren't like as good as Kobe. So then it kind of like gets into inefficient, ugly basketball,
mm-hmm.
which we don't really love to watch. I'm not saying that's all Cam Thomas, but
no. Yes,
he's definitely got, I mean, he wears the Kobe shirt and that's all great and fine.
And we wouldn't even be talking about it if it wasn't successful on some level, because he did, you know, put the ball in the hole. That was working.
Successful.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like in the fourth quarter of the game against the Bucks, Cam Thomas and De'Ron Sharpe scored 20 of the 24 points. Little stat.
Cool. Nice stat.
And it was mostly all Cam Thomas in the fourth quarter. Now, he had some bad plays. Like he had a turnover. He had a couple of like bad, like errant jumpers. But then he also got to the line a bunch, and he hit a three, and that's sort of the Cam Thomas experience. I think if, like, again, we're Nets podcast. I think if Cam Thomas was drafted by a team like the Houston Rockets, like, that would be amazing, right, for him. Because he would, I think he would average, like, 15 points a game
yeah.
in his rookie year, and right. he would be all rookie first team. But probably better for his career is to be on the Nets, because what's going to happen is, like, I almost, and let me ask you this too. I almost don't want him to be like G League Long Island Nets star, because I think if he goes to Long Island and just plays a bunch of games, he's probably just going to like try to put up buckets and not like, he's not going to, the parts of his game that he needs to grow, I don't think they're going to grow as much. He's going to become a better scorer, but like what he needs to do, and he's young, is he needs to like, he does need to kind of play with some of the, like KD, Kyrie, James Harden, to get like to find more of a role early on and then tap into the scoring. I just feel like if he goes to Long Island Nets, he becomes like,
yeah,
you know, G League.
That's where
Colin Sexton.
I actually kind of think it's risky, like in a way, in terms of longevity, because I do think you're right that like he could just like be plopped onto the Rockets and drop a 15 and then like, you know, in 4 years, like get a Kevin Martin sort of style operation, you know, going or whatever, just like a pure scorer, like, you know, whatever yeah. that is at a high level. And that's a good, because you can get a nice big contract and like play a long time in the NBA with that potentially. And in our situation, he actually does have to like maybe adapt himself in an uncomfortable, like good for basketball, like winning basketball way, maybe not for like getting the, you know, like for the just if enriching yourself trajectory, you know, that trajectory. But like, I could totally see it if he like wants to tack on some like Jimmy Butler playmaking elements to his game or whatever. I have no doubt that he can do it. I feel like we came in like down on Cam Thomas. Obviously, like any summer league player with like conspicuous upside, the way that we've seen is great. It's a good thing to have. It's 100%. Just it's just a fun, you know, kind of, it's fun to play Cam Thomas's agent, you know, for a personality like that with a style of play like that. So that's really all it is. But like, I think it's by far my favorite project.
I do want to see him like just even just stand in the corner on offense and receive a pass and shoot an open three. Like, cause you don't even see that in summer league. I mean, summer league basketball is a mess.
It's a mess. It's really very hard to watch. Like this is an interesting thing. Do you feel like when, you know, now that we've been spoiled with high level basketball, you know, that all suddenly it'll just like, you know, we got rich overnight. That like there's some downside to it, which is like we used to care a lot more about summer league. Like summer league was important
because it didn't look all that different from what the Nets were.
Right, there was a bunch of starters playing on your summer league team, so there's like a correlation between like high level normal team basketball and then also like, you know, getting some real jobbers on your summer league team. No disrespect to the summer league team and the jobbers on there. Love the jobbers, but no. You know, some of these guys are we'll never see them again, Mike.
Yeah, it's just like the offense is all like pick and roll base. I mean, that's sort of almost, I think, why like the Cam Thomas negatives, just sort of like blinders on, no passing sort of aspect that he'll play with. It's even more stark in summer league because there is no like what else is he going to do? There's no offensive flow anyways. So it's not like not like that, you know, I just like it's everyone's kind of doing it. I mean,
yeah,
I'm not ready for my Kendari Weatherspoon talk just yet because I got one more thing on Cam. But like that guy's doing it too.
No, it's a great point. We're not having a coach K designed like, you know, beautiful play coming out of summer league. It's not going to happen. Like so it is a perfect time for Cam Thomas to do whatever he's doing.
Here's an extra thing that I actually think will be really beneficial for Cam Thomas over his career is that I love his size.
Yeah, because he looks big on TV.
A lot of these microwave scorer bros like Lou Williams and Jamal Crawford are like skinny, shorter. They can never play defense because of their size, right?
He's more of the Joe Johnson build. He's headed for a Joe Johnson body.
Maybe he'll grow. I mean, he's pretty young.
A Sean Kilpatrick, even, you could say. You know?
How dare you compare anyone?
Best case scenario.
The greatest Irish basketball player of all time.
Yeah.
But he's like, he's 6'4". He's definitely not tiny out there. He is big enough where later in his career, if he's great, he could be a two guard and be able to play a two. And it wouldn't be like, we're lacking size because we have Cam Thomas at the two.
No, he looks strong.
He's pretty big. And he's 19 years old. He's going to, you know, grow and get bigger. If I put a grade, I mean, we're recording this on Thursday morning. I think there's another Nets G League game today. So we're going to miss the third act of the Cam Thomas show. But if I had to put a grade on it, I would call it a B+. I mean, that's a very
Cam
positive
or
grade.
The team itself?
Cam.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's even, I would even elevate it to an A- potentially because he's like literally doing exactly what the like to a T.
Well, as advertised.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he's fulfilling that role. So, I mean, like, what are you going to blame a bunny for hopping? That's how it is. You know,
is that a phrase that people use?
I don't know. I thought so at first, and then
I love it.
Yeah,
you're going to blame a bunny for hopping. No, again, that's perspective. There's a reason why he fell to the 27th pick, right? He's ultra talented, but yet plays a style of basketball that may not fit for everyone. Mm-hmm. So what I'm excited about is that he has this like fantastic foundation, and can the Nets mold him? You know who the Nets could really use? Kenny Atkinson.
Like, wow. Yeah.
It would be great. Kenny Atkinson would do wonders with a Cam Thomas.
What's his gig right now? Where's Kenny?
He just got hired as a new, I think in Portland.
Yeah, I think that's right.
And then he got hired in Portland as assistant to Billups. Yeah, but I mean, I'm excited to see where he goes. I'm excited because go back to his shot. I think he's a really good shooter, and because he puts himself in bad situations, his shooting percentages are lower than where they should be. I think if you can like nudge him a little bit, like, hey, don't try so hard. Like, just if you're open, if you get that open shot, just take it. I'm really excited to see what that looks like. I mean, from the line, he's like fantastic. So let's do this. Take a quick break. Coming back, we'll do Dayron Sharpe, Quindary Weatherspoon, wow, Reggie Perry, David Duke Jr., and Brian's favorite, Kessler Edwards.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
You know, if I would have applied myself, I could have gone to the NBA.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so. But it's just like, it's been done. You know, I didn't want to, I was like, I don't want to be a follower. Hi, I'm Jason Concepcion.
And I'm Shea Serrano. And we are back. We have a new podcast from Wondery. It's called Six Trophies.
Woo!
And it's the f***ing best.
Each week, Shea Serrano and I are combing through all the NBA storylines, finding the best, most interesting, most compelling stories, and then handing out six pop culture themed trophies for six basketball related activities.
Trophies like the Dominic Toretto, I Live My Life a Quarter Mile at a Time trophy, which is given to someone who made a short-term decision with no regard for future consequence.
Or the Christopher Nolan Tenet trophy, which is given to someone who did something that we didn't understand.
Catalina Wine Mixer trophy.
Ooh, the Lauryn Hill, you might win some, but you just lost one trophy. And what's more, the NBA playoffs are here, so you want to make Six Trophies your go-to companion podcast through all the craziness. Follow Six Trophies on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
And we're back, Brian.
Ooh,
wow. Let's talk Dayron, okay?
I'm excited about the Dayron, the future Dayron fights that are going to be happening in Nets, in Nets Twitter land. It's going
to
be good.
Explain that. Why do you feel that way?
So there's going to be two. This always happens with players of this type. I mean, it's a very predictable thing, you know, but there's going to be the five heads who are, they're deep, you know, with their pocket protectors and their deep analytics are going to say Dayron Sharp is not the interior defender that he needs to be. And then there's going to be the other side of that, which are, you know, this is a feelings, is an intuition based group. They party hard, they play hard, they work hard. And they're going to say Dayron is out there with his lunch pail, picking up defensive rebounds, offensive rebounds. There's stats to show that he's productive on the court, and they're just going to go, they're going to battle, they're going to fight it out, like, every night if he ever gets real playing time, because that's just how those types of players are.
I am going to be in the camp of, like, really appreciating and loving Dayron Sharp.
Great.
The happiness camp, the camp for goodness is
the
where I'm going to be.
Camp for goodness.
Camp for goodness. So there was like an amazing stretch at the beginning of the fourth quarter, that Bucks Nets game, where Dayron scored six straight points for the Nets. And there was one possession where he got an offensive rebound, passed it to a guy right next to him, like on the net, open near the basket. They blew the layup. Dayron got it again, getting the rebound over three Bucks players. And then he put it back up for a bucket himself. And I was like, that is two offensive rebounds within that, a pass to another teammate over three Bucks. Like, that is the experience that I want to hear, see and hear. You know, everyone keeps talking about Dayron Sharp's the best rebounder coming out of the college. And I was like, okay, let's see it. That was it. It was like, wow, that was startling. What do you think about his size? Do you think
it wasn't that overwhelming. He gets a little bit lost in there for me. And, also because he's, you know, I wasn't expecting his hair is different from what I expected. And I'm always just kind of looking for him. I get him mixed up with a couple other guys. But like he's not as big as advertised is sort of my experience.
Yeah. So he lost a whole bunch of weight. Yeah. And you know, I'm pro big, right? We're pro body positive.
Everyone knows this.
Yeah. I still think it's good. The thing I do like about his size is that I feel like he is a true center. Like, you know, he's a little bit shorter than like what you exactly want from the center position, but he's definitely not like Reggie Perry to me is never going to be a center, like a real center. Where Dayron Sharp, even if they're not that different in height, I feel like Dayron Sharp occupies the space down low at a much better place than Reggie Perry, where Reggie Perry sort of wants to be floating more around mid-range, popping out the three. Dayron's like, I'm making my money right around the basket.
Yeah.
And I love that about him.
The one to your point about body positivity, I am so body positivity that I actually want him to go put that weight back on, because it's not doing anything for him foot speed wise to be thin. And so you may as well be thick if you're not going to be fast. You know, that's my line of thinking on that.
You might as well be thick. Okay. What is he? I don't know. You know, I don't know. But I mean, I've liked what I've seen so far. It's so funny. We're trying to do this. We've seen two Summer League games. Those games are horrible.
Yeah.
Right. And like the talent is just, it's a massive gap for what is going
to
matter.
The thing that I try to pay attention to is like footwork, you know, like speed, your athletic, those like baseline athleticism memes, the body language. I'm huge into reading body language.
Do they hold their shoulders up high?
You know,
how's their grip when they shake someone's hand?
Exactly. That's a big one for me. That's a very big one for me. And also if you get in the pocket of the, you know, you get people that like, they close down too fast and they get mostly fingers in your handshake. That's a problem. That's a big strike for me. Like, okay. And I'll tell them that at the time, but you just got a strike.
Tell me, how firm of a handshake are you doing?
Very, very firm. Very firm.
Yeah. I try to break.
I do the Trump thing. I try to like, that's my, it's like, you know, we're two bucks, you know, banging our heads out, you know, vying.
You
we're stags,
headbutt the person
vying for superiority. For mating rights. That's what we're doing.
I just hold my hand sort of like horizontal.
Oh, you go,
and I expect
you
like
go
a
with
queen.
A, for a Victorian. Yeah.
Just
nice.
Because so, to me, that's more powerful.
That's a flex.
They're coming.
That is a whole
other
kind of flex.
Me.
That's like a mafia sort of situation. It's a Don. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. I do like Cam Thomas, let's say B+ so far in my weird grading system. Dayron Sharpe's a B. And like, and I think he's shown. You know, he's shown the things that they said he would do. He rebounds, he hustles. I love his emotion. Like he's like out there in these summer league games screaming in the stands.
Fired up.
He's also had one really nice pass in the Bucks game where he kind of got the ball near the top of the key. And he had 2 3-point shooters, one close to him and one in the corner. And not a lot of centers do this, but he threw to the guy in the corner. It wasn't exactly a clean look, but he can make the pass, and it was a clean pass itself. I was like, oh, there's – when you see them skipping passes like that, that's when you know that they have a little bit of skill. And Dayron did that at that moment. I think he has shown talent as Cam Thomas says. I'm just interested to see, you know – his finishing needs more work. He was 5 for 7, though, in the game, so, like, can't really hit in this game. But what I'm trying to figure out is he going to contribute this year?
Mm-hmm.
And I can't really – I don't know. I have no sense. The Nets tend to bring big men along pretty slowly. Nick Claxton being the perfect example of, like, where they spoon-fed – they didn't even spoon-feed. It was an oyster
but
fork.
At least he's not on the Summer League team. I mean, I thought for a second that Nick Claxton could be on here, just how slowly they ramped that dude up. so it's at least a little bit of evidence to suggest that they're, like, respecting him as a, you know
– as a human.
As a human. As a human being.
God, if Nick Claxton was on this team, he would have, like, 8 blocks a game and with so many – it would be running point. It would be fantastic. That's what we need.
Great.
Let's do some quick stuff on a bunch of other. Reggie Perry, controversial figure.
Yeah.
He's been highly inefficient.
He's been ripping threes.
He's been ripping threes. Yeah. Can I ask you something? Do you think that's the right way for Reggie Perry to go? Do you think he should try it? Like, because in my head, Reggie Perry should more focus on being clean up around the rim, almost like how Dayron Sharpe's been playing. Like, he should focus on being a bigger guy as opposed to being a stretch four. In a sense.
Yeah, I'm trying to think about, like, if I was in Reggie Perry's shoes, like, what is the logic behind going 0 for 4 from 3 in Summer League? It's concerning. Well, I can't tell if he's been given the green light by somebody. Maybe he has, maybe he hasn't. He obviously wants to prove that part of his game, and it's not there, so there's an issue there. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what the Reggie Perry experience is going to hold for us. But he does not seem to be wanting to do the banging that you would expect from a guy with that body type. There's not a whole lot of banging going on.
When we did our like season preview interviews last year, like the guy, like Sarah Kustak told us this. I think we talked to Sarah to start the year.
Mm-hmm.
It was like everyone was buzzing about Reggie Perry. that he was the guy in training camp who was like, people were like, whoa, who's this?
It was the Nick Claxton from the year after. Like Nick Claxton just had that meme. Yeah.
And Reggie Perry has a really good pedigree. He was, I think it was like the under 18 Team USA, like team MVP for some tournament. He went to Mississippi State and was a highly ranked recruit. And, you know, Mississippi State's not that good. So the season wasn't that great, but he was the best player on that team. And, you know, the Nets maybe kind of got a steal in the second round. And then the Nets draft five players this draft after adding a bunch of free agent bench guys. You know, so like, where's Reggie Perry going to fit? So I think the 3-point shooting is him having been in a gym for a while, probably hitting threes and being like, I'm going to bust this out during the game.
Time to bust.
And it's not working out too great for our boy Reggie Perry. I hope he starts shooting better because I think there's talent there. But for me, I would be like, Reggie, I know you want to show that 3-point range. What you should do is just be like active rebound, bro.
Yeah.
Just do that. Be athletic. Be aggressive. Be a monster down low. And then figure out the 3-point like way down the line.
You don't shoot that fourth unless you actually think it can go in. I mean, so he's got some reason to believe that's going. It's not like he's going out there and putting up his cheeky two. You know, he's going for four. So he thinks he's got some.
Let's have our Quindary Weatherspoon conversation.
Okay.
So of all the guys who are getting like a lot of the, like most of the run on the summer league team, I think Mr. Weatherspoon is probably the one we're least emotionally invested in. Like there's all the rookies. Maybe Kaiser Gates is like another person who, how do we have any idea of who Kaiser Gates is? But Mr. Weatherspoon is controlling the ball a lot. He's surrounded by Cam Thomas, who we want to see play. David Duke, who everyone really hasn't been enjoying the David Duke experience. Mm-hmm. You hate Quindary.
Well, I didn't in the first game. So I don't care about winning summer league games. And so there's this unfortunate thing where like you basically just want to see the guys who are under contract. So the rookies, like you just like everyone clear out for Cam, you know, Cam Thomas.
Can they just play the five draft picks all together for the whole game, please?
Which sucks and it's selfish, but that's, you know, that's what we want. That's, you know, and
we're fans.
You know,
we're selfish.
Raekwon hasn't even played yet.
I don't even know where he is.
Is he there? What's happened?
He's the one I was most excited to see.
Where is Raekwon Green?
Back, either as Mr. Zagorowski.
That's right.
And I'm kind of interested to see why they drafted Marcus Zagorowski, because that seemed to be the most outlandish pick of the five.
And also, like, we got 16 minutes of Kessler Edwards. He didn't play the first game. That's not enough Kessler Edwards even for me. Okay, if I'm being frank with you, Mike.
Yeah, I mean, I'll be honest. In our pre-show meeting, Brian was cursing.
Yeah.
Jordan Ott.
A fangul.
Jordan Ott's name, because Kessler Edwards was barely getting any minutes out there. And I have no opinion. I mean, he actually played, I mean, 17 minutes, I guess, is not like an insignificant amount. And he had no impact on the game, which I'm a little worried about.
So anyways, back to Quindary. I don't mind Quindary. It's just he falls.
No,
into,
you hate him.
He falls into the category.
Just tell people what you feel.
Mike, he's on the side of Brandon Knight. He's on Brandon Knight's team of guys who are just taking up a lot of reps and they're not keeping Raekwon Gray on the bench, but they're not helping his case, Mike. Let me tell you that right now. So anyways, but Quindary's been fine, and he's, you know, obviously, like, there's some problems there. We talked about his
eight turnovers.
His turnover situation, but, like, we're not going to see him again, so it doesn't matter. It's like, you know, I hate to say it, but we're not going to see these guys again.
I don't know. It feels like, so this is the larger summer league thought experiment, right? It's like, it seems strange to put Mr. Weatherspoon on this team, because, like, what should be the mission going into the summer league? One, it's like, hey, let's look at David Duke, Alize Johnson, Reggie Perry, our draft picks. Let's figure out all those guys, whether they're going to have a role in this team. And Quindary, it's like he's like in this middle ground of he's not a young draft pick that they have on the team, and he's not Brandon Knight, where like Brandon Knight has all this history and this potential to be good. Weatherspoon's like sort of in the middle, and it's like, well, like, is he like, if he's not going to play for the Nets, the Brooklyn Nets, why is he playing it all in the summer league? And he's playing a lot. Like, I don't know what his usage is because I don't have those stats in front of me, but I feel like he has like the highest or second highest usage on this team.
The first game, it was pretty aggressive. He only played 21 minutes the second game, but his usage rate is still, I agree, I haven't seen it, but I'm sure it's high. I mean, you don't get eight turnovers at a high usage rate.
He is active and athletic, and
there's nothing wrong with him. And you know, if we had him under contract, I'd be more interested in what he was doing. But we're just not going to put him on the roster. So I hate to be this is me. I feel cruel. that's what's happening.
Should we be happy? People love David Duke Jr. And
it's the handling of the name. That's the you were about to launch into
what
that.
What a beautiful. So if you don't know, I mean, I don't really know how to get into this. If you don't know who David Duke is, a famed KKK member.
Yeah, he's like the guy. He's like the head of the KKK. Right. He was played by Topher Grace in that movie about the KKK,
Black Klansman.
Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah. And so they asked him, our David Duke, the good David Duke, how do you feel, you know, hey, this guy has this name, he's a horrible person, you aren't a horrible person, how do you feel about having the name? He said, if anyone should change their name, it's that guy, because he sucks, is basically what he said, he sucks, and I'm good, and I want to try to bring something good to the name David Duke, which I'm like, well, that is a fantastic perspective.
Got to take it back. Got to take the name back. I will say, though, the timing of naming the kid David Duke, it's just one of those things where you got to do your due diligence.
Well, but what are you going to – I will defend Mama Duke because, it's almost like, you know, obviously they didn't know that the other David Duke exists. Like, they just didn't know that the other David Duke
I know,
existed.
That's what I'm saying. Like, when you're naming a kid, you do the little, like, did I accidentally
– How old is he? He's 19 years – he's 20 years old. It was – what year?
Dude, David
Duke's 2001.
Been around forever. He's been –
but I'm saying the Googledness of names – like, so I have two kids, right?
But so even the process, you don't want to accidentally not bust
out. You don't have children, Brian. So let me explain to you how this works.
This is why Mike's kids are named Adolf.
We're trying to bring the name back, you know?
Yeah.
Actually, I was toying with Adolf. I mean, I'm not going to lie.
Really?
Adolf was
they
like,
came
I'm
up.
Like, yeah, it's like not a bad name. Adolfo.
Adolfo. Oh, Italian flair.
It's not a bad
it.
Name. Yeah. It just happened to be a bad person had the name.
Right, right. So you can take it back.
Is there a name that you wouldn't... Never mind, let's not go down that road. But I don't know. I defend Mom. Obviously, they didn't know that. So, you know, you don't... now everyone Googles the name, everyone's name that they're about to do. You search, like, what's the meaning of Jessica? What's Jessica mean? And then, you know, it's a Hebrew for comes on from high. You're like, oh, that's a beautiful meaning. It has no impact on anyone.
And then
like,
you find out that there was a despot named Jessica, a dictator, cruel
Jessica
dictator.
The killer. Jessica, I was going to say Jessica the Hun, but anyway.
That's good. That works.
Attila.
Yeah.
Bring Attila back.
Attila's a cool name. That is a good name.
Yeah.
It's a big name.
If I sent my little – my son's name is Rowan, so that's a Googled name.
That's a Google name?
It's a name that you would like – you look up like anyone named Rowan. Yeah. It's like Rowan Atkinson. You're like, crap. That's not that good. If I sent him to – we're sending him to preschool-ish. It's like daycare, preschool. And there's an Attila in class. I'd be like, got to know those parents. Got to meet them.
Yeah, right.
What a great name. Fantastic. All right. David Duke Jr., the basketball player.
The basketball player.
I think he looks he looks like he fits on an NBA basketball court.
Yeah, yeah.
Like
his body
size, athleticism, quickness,
fluidity. He's got good body language. Mm-hmm.
He's not like he was 0-for-4 from 3 in the Bucks game, 4-for-10 from the field. But like all of it makes sense.
Yeah.
Like
high on the eye test scale, low on the maybe output. Not that low.
Fran Fraschilla from ESPN said that David Duke has an Exhibit 10 contract with the Nets, which means that they have his G League rights, so he's going to be part of the Long Island Nets. He's one of the undrafted players that they signed to a deal immediately after the draft, so it's someone that they liked a lot to do so. What I like about him, we talked about how much of a mess Summer League is, basketball-wise. He's playing like a role player should play, even in Summer League. Like, he's defense, trying to cause a little havoc, running down the floor really fast, trying to hunt for open shots off the ball. I like what I'm seeing. the Long Island Nets could be like one of the top 30 most fun teams in professional basketball. If you have Cam Thomas running the show with Dayron Sharpe, and David Duke on the wing, Alize Johnson, Reggie Perry getting minutes. Basically a summer league team, but
more
structure.
Show at the Nassau Coliseum.
Raekwon Gray. Where is
Where is he? Break him out. Break him out. You know, speaking of eye test, I don't know if he caught any Jalen Green, but that is the most eye test passiest player I've ever seen.
I haven't seen Jalen yet.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, it's really – he's quite good.
I'm excited. Yeah. I mean, that's the summer league, as much of a mess as it is like super fun to see some of these guys. Like, there's who's the big man for the Miami Heat that's like blowing up right now? I know there's like a couple of those players who are doing phenomenally well that you just have no clue who they are. Like, this is excellent. Anything else before we go?
That's it for me. Did you want to talk about, is there any rumors on the mill? Like, there's some J.J. Redick stuff you were talking about?
Real quick, before we go, Bri.
Mm-hmm.
J.J. Redick news. So I don't even know, I'll be honest, the person who tweeted about J.J. Redick is maybe going to decide between the Nets and the Lakers, whoever tweeted that out, I have no clue who they are. And I think they write for basketballnews.net.
Was it you, Mike? Michael?
I'm not going to disparage the website. I just don't know it. So I don't know the validity behind it, you know, but it's one of these things that like we should all grapple with. I mean, this is an open space and, you know, unlikely information. Information comes from unlikely places sometimes. Well, you just never know where it's going to come from.
Okay. Interesting.
So there was a report a couple of days ago that J.J. Redick may possibly join the Nets or the Lakers or maybe another team in the bidding. We have joked about many, many times that how it would be an indictment on J.J. Redick if he was not a Brooklynet, because he lives in Brooklyn and he wants to live on the East Coast. He's talked about that many, many times, like he wants to play on the East Coast again, all that stuff. Let me ask you this, though. Do the Nets need J.J. Redick, Brian?
No, I don't think they do.
I don't think they do right now.
Ooh, but later, but maybe later.
But maybe later. So that's sort of my theory, is that like, so, okay, this is how to work. I mean, I think if J.J. Redick gets offered a job at one of the competing teams in the NBA, even if it's the Knicks, like I would say if it's like, not knowing J.J. Redick, but knowing the way he's talked, if it's Nets, Knicks, 76ers, and then maybe the two LA teams, if he wants to go back there, if he got offered a job today, he would take it, mm-hmm. right? But if he doesn't, I do love the thought of like J.J. Redick being the mid-season free agent. I'm not quite coming out of retirement because I didn't retire, but coming out of retirement guy.
Mm-hmm.
And why the Nets would maybe want that is, hey, let's say there's an injury or they do, you know, apologize to everyone, make the Joe Harris trade. They're like, you know what? We can trade Joe Harris for player X who is going to help us out in this different way, and we can replace some of Joe with a combination of J.J. Redick and Javon Carter and any other shooters, you know, Patty Mills obviously being a prime candidate for shooter wing guy. I could see that happening. Right now, though, look at what the Nets did in free agency. Beyond Patty Mills, they got Bembry, who is a defender. Javon Carter was a trade defender. James Johnson, defender. They got a bunch of wing defender guys. I love Bembry, by the way. I think
we never talked about Bembry.
Low end signing. So I don't know if they really desire to have like another. They're a pretty loaded roster right now.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't hate it if J.J. Redick was on the team, but I don't think it makes sense for him to have him on the team.
No, I agree. Put it to bed. Put it to bed.
Last thing. We didn't even talk about this, and this is a small thing. Kevin Durant signed his extension. Everyone's already talked about it. I mean, I will just say this. It is incredible.
Yeah. Five more years of Kevin Durant.
Yeah. And even if, like, so this happens a lot in the NBA where a guy will just grab an extension, and even if he wants to get out, he'll force a trade out, and that happens. And maybe that's going to happen with Kevin Durant. But a lot of also superstars like Kevin Durant haven't done that recently. They've actually taken the one-on-ones and all that stuff so that they can choose in free agency where they want to go.
Right.
not be beholden to a trade. So at the very least, the Nets have Kevin Durant, or the ability to control Kevin Durant's where he plays basketball for the next, what, 5 years or whatever it is.
5 years.
And hopefully he plays in the Nets for all 5 years and wins 6 championships within 5 years somehow. That'd be amazing.
I am interested to see how long it takes Harden and Kyrie to sign theirs.
Okay, let's tough question.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say Harden signs his, right? And he has like a massive extension. Would it surprise you that Kyrie doesn't sign an extension?
I mean, he seems to be the one that would be the holdout. He's always, I mean, for obvious meme alert, you know, he's got the most question marks about his, you know, future interest in basketball. He's got enough. He's got a lot of other interests, to put it lightly. So that's a dude that's unpredictable. I do think I would be very surprised if Harden didn't sign that extension. I'd honestly be surprised if either of them didn't sign their extensions. I just think it's like it's hard to finesse a super team on any level and to have one season where it like mostly went all the way good and like, you know, you're on the right. I just feel like the Nets are a really particularly good situation for guys like that, not just because it's New York, but just feel like it's like so low pressure plus high I don't know, platform. The platform is big. The pressure is low. It's a really sweet spot for people like that.
Yeah. I mean, during the playoffs when the Knicks, you know, had their fantastic playoff run where they played
that
five games.
That was a huge, that was a great game, that one game that they won.
Yeah. The one game. And I mean, there's so many celebrities. Yeah. It's amazing. What an amazing environment. Everyone's flipping out. Oh, the Knicks own New York.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That we've talked about this many times. That works against the Knicks.
Yeah.
To have all of that attention. There are, of course, there's going to be players, and I think it's happening soon, that will want to play for the Knicks because of all the attention and the, sort of the multiplying effect of playing for the Knicks in terms of your brand. If you're good with the Knicks, you could become, you know, an even higher level of superstar, 100%. I'm going to guess, knowing humans, as you and I do, we know humans.
You are a guy who knows humans. I've said that.
The amount of pressure that already exists by being a max contract NBA player, that amount of pressure just as a base level,
yeah,
adding more pressure on top of that isn't appealing to a lot of humans. Most humans, let's see what Naomi Osaka, I know Simone Biles became more of like less about pressure and more about like an actual thing that happens to gymnasts where they get the yips in a way. So it's less about pressure, more about like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just more of a mental block. But we're living in a culture with social media and all that crap where people feel more anxiety on a regular basis. The Nets offer the least anxiety per capita in the NBA, yeah, right? Like you can become, like you said, you can go to Brooklyn, have all the great access to that New York City offers without like having the glaring spotlight that is the Knicks. You get to come, like you get everything that the Knicks basically give you, except like with the Nets, like, hey, look at our show.
And beyond all that, like I'm pretty dubious of the, like fans have this, like, I think pretty dumb one-to-one reflexive logic of like, well, the team with the best fans is like obviously where everyone wants to play. And I think that factors in pretty low in the decision-making process of a very high-level basketball player, of any best player. I think like you're looking at the management, the location, the infrastructure, you know, what can they do for my family? You know, like big life decision things are not based on like, well, they've got some crazy fan. They paint have you seen the fans? They get drunk and they paint their faces. It's great. I got to go see that up close and personal for myself. I got to see that every night for 5 years. I don't think so. I think that's a little bit of a like fan narcissism thing that we do for ourselves. And for that reason, the Knicks haven't been able to, like, you know, acquire all those fancy free agents, because I think that they've been leaning on, like, we've got this great fan culture, and it's like, but everything else is a complete dumpster fire, but, like, those fans are kick-ass.
The sort of the lack of fervor,
mm-hmm,
with surrounding the Nets fan base is an asset in my way.
I agree. Not to zag all the way, no, what you're saying. Yeah.
Yeah, it's an asset. It's like... Nets fans, people listening to the show, aren't psychos. mean, there's some crazy Nets fans.
There's more. It's increasing. Like you can tell as the team gets better, it you're funneling for more psychos. That's an interesting thing that's happening.
And I support. Hey, I support psychosis.
Yeah.
As a fan, I get it. But I also think that the lack of sort of pressure and all that insanity around it is a positive, and that's why people want to come. I mean, Durant even said it himself. He came here because he likes the black and white jerseys, and he likes the vibe and the black and white jerseys. Yeah, he said that.
He did say that.
Kevin Durant is going to be. It is incredible thing to think about with Kawhi the way he hasn't fully embraced the Clippers. There's a lot of guys who, even though they go to these teams now, LeBron and AD both signed the long term contract with the Lakers. LeBron's at a different point in his career. AD, you know, obviously could have made different options later on, but it's a nice thing.
You know what this means? I think this probably means Durant's going up in our rafters after if he goes the distance, win just the one chip. A lot has to happen. A lot has to happen, but you think he's going the jersey's going to Golden State? You think it's going to Oklahoma where they've been burning his jersey for a decade?
I think Golden State has already said that they're going to put up Durant.
You can't already say that. What do you put?
I'm pretty sure. I'm looking it up. Golden State has said.
Can you have it in multiple arenas?
Yeah. Yeah.
Who's got the multiple arena treatment?
Kevin Durant's jersey will hang in the Thunder's rafters, I guess. They've already said that.
Oh, my Lord.
And it's going to come up in the Warriors' rafters because.
All right, never mind. Keep the Durant jersey.
I don't know if it's true that it's. I'm just seeing bad links to stuff. But like.
You can't come out and already lay claim to that. Like,
is Shaq up in the Magic rafters?
What if he plays another 10 years? He's 32. He could easily go another 10 years. Not easily, but he could go another 10 years. That's a good question. Is Shaq in the rafters in Orlando?
Yeah, who's in the most rafters? I mean, LeBron is going to be up in Miami, Cleveland, and the Lakers. Jordan's probably going to be up for the Wizards.
I didn't realize that they did multiple. I guess that makes sense. I didn't.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's a franchise decision. There isn't a collective body.
We need to formalize this thing. We need to shore this up because it's going to get out of hand.
It's going to get way out of hand.
It's going to get crazy.
I mean, the amount of like dedication videos to guys who've played for like 6 months.
That is a pretty good. That's a good meme. The Torian Prince like music video. That's so good.
And it's just Clank jumpers. Yeah.
Got
him. It's like, it's just, how low can we go? I mean, Chris Chioza is going to get one when he comes back with the Warriors. He signed with the Warriors. Congrats
to
Chioza. To
Big Cheese.
But, I mean, didn't he come on the show?
Everyone who comes on the show prospers. That's true.
Dinwiddie.
Except for us. That's the only people. Dinwiddie got paid. Brooke Lopez just got paid. He's been on the show.
Big fan of the show.
Mike.
Bruce Brown got paid on the show. Jeff Green got paid.
Come on.
The show.
Look at us.
Damari Carroll did not. Well, actually, he got paid. Technically, he did. He got a contract
with
the Spurs?
With the Spurs. Absolutely.
Yeah, we're big deals.
That's what happens, Mike. All right, get us out of here.
All right. Well, thank you all so much for listening. We're going to keep potting through the summer league. Then, I don't know, Brian and I are going to talk schedule, like, in terms of our schedule coming up, like what do we want to do? There's going to be a deadish period, but we can figure out.
That's where all the dumbest memes come out. There's going to be the cocktail episode in there somewhere. You know,
I'm so excited for the cocktail.
That episode. Kind of stuff. There's a 48-hour straight podcast coming up. Something like the 72-hour maybe. I don't know. I can't. We'll figure it out.
73 hours.
73 hours.
Actually, it's going to be extra.
127 extra hours. We're going to trap our arms under boulders. All right, Mike. At BK Glue Guys on Twitter. Nets Daily is an affiliate. The Athletic, big affiliate. Shout out to the Discord. Links in the Twitter bio. 5 stars. We want them. We need them. We have to have them. Thank you so much, everybody. We're out of here. Good night. Yeah, it's Howard Deaton.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. $50, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.